Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Message, I know I've been kind of bouncing around a couple different themes, working through the stories here. I did mention at the end of the last hour, this deal down in Florida, all Florida K through 12 students to learn about atrocities of communism. As I said in the last hour about, the dismantling of the tent protest in Colombia, and then the charges, the attempts to prosecute the Golden Gate Bridge, people who, trapped people on the bridge, right? That's the way. I've been saying it for a long time now, which is this stuff doesn't stop until Americans say stop. Because right now, you've got two generations at least who believe that all of this stuff is acceptable because they've been coddled. And most of America, most Americans have been just kind of rolling their eyes at this, like, oh, okay, whatever, you guys are silly, whatever. But now, you know what? It's like we put up with it, you put up with it, you put up with it, you put up with it, and then you just like, I'm done. I'm not putting up with it anymore. And then, like, this happens at the geopolitical level also, right, on the world stage. Put up with it, and then all of a sudden it's like, that's it, everybody's getting bombed. And everybody's like, whoa, wait, whoa, whoa, what? Jeff, welcome to the program. Hello, Jeff.
Well, hi, Pete. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to reply to your question about why the left isn't trying to throw the ultra-leftists under the bus and try to rein them in. The reason is because they don't have to. The only thing they have to do is keep Joe alive until November.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because this is the way it plays out. Joe gets reelected, okay? He gets re-inaugurated, and then he has a health issue. He resigns, and Kamala takes her place as the first African-American female president, and then she gets Gavin Newsom as her VP.
I had heard that you're not allowed to, and I keep meaning to double-check the Constitution on this, that you can't have two from the same state. President and vice president.
Okay,
but either way, either way, your scenario unfolds similarly, whether it's.
Right.
But here's the problem with this strategy is Kamala Harris. Right? I mean, and it's sad, too, kind of on the one hand. I have some sympathies because if only she were better, right? Like, this would be a really good strategy for the Democrats. But the problem they are facing is that she really is just awful. And. But maybe that's actually a benefit. Maybe it's
That doesn't matter. When the votes are counted in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Georgia, whatever ballots are for Trump, they're going to be dismissed, and then they're going to be replaced with, just like they did in the last election. They replaced ballots for Trump with ballots for Biden, so he's going to get reelected.
Jeff. All right, really believe this?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So why are you sticking around in America?
Well, actually, the reason is because the only thing I haven't been able to do was get into Switzerland. It's really where I'd like to go. So
have you gotten everything else lined up in order to get into Switzerland, except one or two things, or
no, just haven't tried enough.
You believe that this is such an existential threat that you haven't gotten out yet,
right? Exactly.
Well, okay. Why?
Well, part of it is I'm going to defend my life here.
Right, but why? Right. So okay. So
why?
Yeah. So this is part of the same questions I have for people that say that the climate change is going to kill everybody, which is why do you still have all of the creature comforts? Why are you flying all over the world? Right? Like, why are you living in a manner that does not line up with what you say is the real threat?
Well, but I am living here. I'm an active citizen. I vote, and I.
Why would you vote?
I have livelihood here.
What? Right, but why would you vote?
Well, because I go to vote because there's down the ballot issues that I want to vote for.
Do you believe those aren't being corrupted?
No, not to the same level.
Why not?
Not where I live.
Right,
but the ballot boxes are controlled by other people.
Who are these other people?
Well, the party that I prefer, they control the ballot boxes where I live.
But they don't. The Board of Elections does. And that's in North Carolina. Are you in North Carolina?
Yes, uh-huh.
All right. So the boards of election in North Carolina are
right, but we have local control over the ballot boxes.
The state. No. The state, I mean, you have volunteers. You have people that volunteer and they go to work at the polling stations.
But the counties have board of elections that they handle the ballot boxes and the ballots.
They're appointed by the governor.
No.
Yes.
They're appointed by the county commission.
They are not. The governor controls the appointments. Now, the county commissions make the recommendations, but the boards are made up predominantly. In North Carolina, every single county board of election has a majority Democrats on every board.
Okay, well, again, the local ballot boxes have more control than what you see in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia.
What?
And Arizona, if you want to throw that one in.
But how?
Well, I don't know how they do it. That's the thing. The ballot boxes don't have an enforcement mechanism to make sure that what goes in the slot stays in it.
Right. So this takes me back to the question I asked earlier: is why do you continue to vote if the whole system is corrupt? Why do you just go and vote? Why do you continue?
Well, again, I'm gonna put my vote to who I support, mm-hmm. whether it's national, state, or local.
Right.
So that's why I go vote.
Right, but if it's meaningless because it's corrupted and they're going to switch all the votes anyway.
No, okay. The one that's meaningless is the presidential thing. It's going to be a repeat of the last election. They're going to take whatever 15,000 votes they need in either state, and they're going to switch them. And that's why the Democrats aren't worried about this. They know what they're going to do.
You think Democrats aren't worried about the election outcome?
No,
I do
not a bit.
You know why?
Not a bit.
Oh, I do. You know why? Look at the way they are coddling the pro-Palestinian protesters. Right? You don't do that unless you know you need them. You don't go to black churches and say that Mitt Romney is going to put you back in chains, right? You do that in order to keep your people so scared that they keep voting for you because the other people are going to incarcerate you, they're going to murder you or whatever, right? They have their own coalition they are desperately trying to hold together, right? There's this idea, and the left thinks it of the right too, which is kind of comical, that both sides think that the other side is like this well-oiled machine and everybody falls in line. And I know people on the right, I know conservatives say this about the left all the time. People on the left say that about conservatives and Republicans. Did you know that? They believe the exact same thing about the Republicans.
Right.
So here's what I would suggest. Get involved in the local election. I'm not saying just to go vote. I'm saying go volunteer to work a polling place. Go volunteer to drive people to the polls, whatever. Like, if you believe that this is important enough, which, by the way, this is, you are correct, the local races at the local level and the state level, this stuff more impacts your life more than the national stuff, right? So it's going to take people who are generally, I think, by our very nature, people who are more conservative by our nature, we are a live and let live kind of, I'm going to focus on my business, I'm going to focus on my family and my church, and I'm going to do these other things. And what has happened, though, is that the progressives have gone in and they have taken these institutions of power and they have entrenched themselves. And that means we have to get them out. And the way to get them out is to get active and get involved in those institutions. And one of them is going to, and you got to do it through the ballot box, right? And so one of those is the boards of election. So you've got to be able to be involved in all the precincts. And yeah, you, I mean, that's what it's going to take, is for limited government, conservative, and even not even conservative, just more middle of the road, moderate people to get more involved and to take this stuff back, because progressives have been on their long march. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. But again, the Democrats are more organized. They are well oiled, and they have this in plan. They're going to do the same thing they did in the last election. So just look at the Senate.
So why bother? So again, Jeff. So this is why I keep asking. Then why bother? If you already believe that all is lost, why do you even bother?
Because one of these days it's going to flip back.
How? You can't come at me with this all is lost, defeatist mentality and then say someday it's going to get better. How does it get better?
I didn't say it was going to get better. I said it was going to change back.
It's going to change back. Well, how?
Yeah.
Anyway, just think about that answer. How does it change back if it never can get changed? Because they're the well-oiled machine that keeps taking, winning all the elections. I don't know. I appreciate the call. We got a bunch of emails and such on the last hour's topic, as well as this one. But let me go over here to Bob first. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Pete. Yeah, you know, everything to me seems to be always, you know, always breaking down. In other words, structure always breaks down. Entropy, right? You know, so the goal line, or rather the line of scrimmage, is always moving to the left. You know, I mean, think how more liberal we are today than we were 100 years ago.
Sure.
And the other point I wanted to make is that, you know, as Americans, we've always pulled for the underdog. You know, we've always been a big fan of the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was in, you know, one of your famous coffee stores today, and not today, it was the other day, but and this little 17-year-old girl, I guess, had a Palestinian flag on her apron. And I asked her, I said, you know, what flag is that? And she said, it's Palestine. And I was like, oh, okay. And I think it's just popular right now.
It is.
It's always been popular with Americans to pull for the underdog. You know, unfortunately, these underdogs that the kids are pulling for these days are, you know, fascists. You know?
Yeah. No, they're barbaric. They murder gay people. They murder women for not covering up. Yeah, I mean they're barbaric, and so it is. Yes, it's a fashion statement.
Exactly. It's more of, you know, a popular, you know, it's more of a social thing than it is an actual political thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's just too bad. You know, I don't think that we'll ever, like, to that last caller, you know, I don't ever think we'll get back. You know, we'll never get back. I think that, you know, that like you had said in the monologue before, that, you know, there's going to be a time when the American people say, okay, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, hey, it's popular to wear masks right now, even when you don't need to. You know, because it covers your face and you might be able to, you look like a criminal. You know, that's cool right now.
It's,
you know?
It's why I say it is a fashion accessory, and it's not just fashion as in I'm wearing this clothing is fashion, but it's also in fashion. It's popular.
Right.
And, right. That's all.
Exactly.
It's a fashion accessory. Right. I appreciate the call, Bob. Like, yeah. And unfortunately, for a lot of these kids that are adopting this fashion accessory, that they're adopting an accessory that squarely aligns them with some really awful people with a horrible, evil philosophy. So that might come back to harm them and their, you know, employment prospects down the road. And they're being led that way. Because this is, by the way, this is the whole point, right? With when you're talking about Marxism and the issue is never the issue, the issue is always revolution. And that's what's happening right now. I guarantee you the people that were Antifa protesters during the fiery but mostly peaceful summer of protesting, right? The same crowd, right? They're out there right now for Palestine. It's all this, quote, intersectionality. Why? Because it's just marshaling your resources to send to a different cause, right, in order to run these ops. That's the point. The point is the revolution. It's to create the chaos. It's to constantly be churning. And we're too, a lot of people are too nice. And it's like, oh, well, you know, it's just this kid. They've been led astray and all this. And it's just they take advantage of that. And this happens all the time. People mistake kindness for weakness. And then eventually at some point, it's like, okay, no more. And then people get all upset at the reaction, which, of course, then Alinskyites will use. The reaction or the action is the reaction. Right? Sometimes that is the case. The reaction is the action and vice versa. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I got to ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Mark says, when you have high-ranking Jewish leaders who don't condemn, like Chuck Schumer and Josh Stein, it just fans the flames, right? So the leaders in the Democrat Party, So this was the earlier discussion about, where the Democrats are going to kick these people out of their party, and I view that as them refusing to do so. I view it as not just weakness, but also a political calculation that they are making, because I believe they are afraid they're not going to win. They're reading the polls too. They see Joe Biden. They see this. They're lying. I mean, do you not know that they're lying to you? Of course, we all know they're lying to us when they say Joe Biden's fine, right? We know they're lying to us, right? So why are they lying? Because they want us to believe, and they want their people to believe, they want everybody to believe that what we are seeing is not really happening. Why? Because if we see what is happening, then Joe Biden probably doesn't win. So they have to, right? So they've got to keep saying these things that are not true. Joe Biden's fine, no problem at all. Jeff says, I am sticking around because America is mine. Well, no, that's good. But then I don't know how to square that with your comment then, Jeff, about going to Switzerland. I don't know. Let me see here. I'm afraid the UNIT party is going to have two puppet presidents in a row. Okay. I mean, look, you can look through everything and say, or look at everything, I should say, and say this is all theater. Everything is theater. There are puppet masters pulling the strings on all of this stuff. To which point then I ask, like, why are you even interested in any of the current events? Like, why do you even care about any of this stuff? Why do you pay attention? Why do you read stories, listen to the show? Why do you do anything? If you think that nothing you can do matters because everything is being orchestrated at a higher level than you, then there is no point in wasting your life on paying attention to any of this stuff. Now, as you might imagine, I disagree. I think life and human beings, we are way messier. I talked about the story the other day where remember Democrats rammed through Obamacare. And I was when I saw that happen in the House, it was like the Christmas break, Christmas weekend. I was like, that's it. It's like, it's over. It's done. And then what happened? The response was the Tea Party. Now, maybe that was all coordinated. Maybe the puppet masters did all of that too. I don't believe that to be the case because I knew people that were involved in the Tea Party and I knew candidates that ran because of Obamacare. They were, and they won election. Dan Bishop is one of them. So yeah, I don't know how to convince you of something you've already adopted as a faith. right, as a belief. And I'm not trying to convince you. I just disagree. That's all. Well, here we go. Along those lines, here's Jimmy. Welcome to the program, Jimmy.
Hey, Pete.
Hey.
Enjoy listening to your show. Agree with you most of the time. Just a couple things I questioned. Your caller a couple callers ago, I think when the election fraud gets brought up, it seems and I'm hearing you talk subsequently, and maybe you're just giving some tough love here. I think the point you're making is, look, if you're going to complain and not do anything about it, then stop complaining.
That is one of the points, yes.
You know, kind of when someone brings up the fraud in that election, it just doesn't seem, it seems a little out of character. The first thing is, it seems out of character for someone with your views to be so antagonistic about that on its surface. And, you know, prodding this guy about technical questions and all that, it's like, that's one thing.
I'll address that first off. Number one, you realize, right, we are on the radio. People are listening. I have a responsibility to, when people talk about stuff, to not just say, oh, yeah, great idea, I agree with you 100%, but I view my role here, I have a responsibility to challenge people's assertions to find out, you know, why they believe what they believe. Not that there's anybody telling me I have to do that. That's just what I do. Unchallenged ideas are easy to hold. So when somebody says, when someone says the election is stolen, I start asking follow-up questions to find out what information they have to support that belief. And if it's just if it's just a belief that's something that they like to say, almost like a fashion accessory, then I want to suss that out.
But Pete, I would say not all of us have, you know, the resources at our disposal. The common man, you know, you want data, go to hereistheevidence.com. That's a great site that has facts and data about it. But most people are not going to be put on the spot, but they know it. You can't, you know, you're on the radio, you're not going to be able to rattle off, you know, those kinds of things. So again, I think, you know, you're in a position here where I don't know why there's been antagonism about it. Yeah, if you sat down with that guy and had a beer with him for a few hours, he's probably read some articles, he probably has some good data points, but to me, it comes across as...
Did I ask him for proof?
As skepticism, you know, fundamentally,
it is skepticism.
I guess the question to you is, what do you believe that there was irregularities and that there was... that swayed the vote in that election? Because it doesn't sound like you do.
First off, Jimmy, if you're asking now for specifics, which, by the way, I did not ask Jeff. I didn't ask him for any specifics. What states, I didn't ask him for any of the details, right? So, but now you're saying the specifics, and you said irregularities, and then you kind of broadened it out. So what is the exact question? What state are you asking about? What size of irregularities, and what irregularities are you talking? Because he mentioned specifically that votes were changed. He says that the vote totals came in, and then a whole bunch of votes got changed. And that indicates to me a belief that there's something to do with the machines behind the scenes, and people are doing something with the programming.
Well, maybe not.
I don't know.
You know, you're not going to give me enough time here to articulate specifics about what happened in Pennsylvania, what happened in Michigan, what happened at 2 in the morning in Pennsylvania. That's the problem
with
being
a
guest caller.
Pick one.
Well, I don't. You're making my point for me, which is I am not sitting here with the data. I said there's
no, no, no. All right, hang on. No, Jimmy, you just said I'm not going to give you enough time, and then you listed a bunch of different states. So is it that you don't have the data at your fingertips, and I should go do the research myself, which is an assumption that I haven't. But I should do that. But then you said it's a time management issue. It's not a data thing. All I'm asking. So here's the thing. All I ask for is see. And all I'm doing is challenging the way you are arguing. Because here's the thing. I've talked about this at length for many years, right, since the election. I believe, yes, there were irregularities, because there were irregularities in every single election. Yes, there was fraud. There's fraud in every election. To what extent? In which states? I don't know. It depends on the state you're talking about. Also, I believe that the outcome of the election was, in fact, influenced probably to the detriment, to the effect that Trump lost because of it, but I believe it occurred before any of the votes were cast, or maybe during the early voting period too, because of the law changes that occurred that allowed Democrats to engage in the behavior that they did. Now, if you're going to start telling me that votes got flipped because of computer programming stuff, that's a different argument.
Well, how would you expect, and he was sort of making that point, it sounded like, about votes getting split. Let's assume he did know something. how do you expect him to articulate that on a call-in radio show where he has 3 minutes? I mean, unless you know, the guy sounded like a common man. There's a lot of people out there who have done their homework and do that, but yet aren't, you know, skilled in the art of getting, you know, articulating their points and making, you know, and bringing that data forth. That doesn't mean, what I'm saying is that doesn't, it seems to me that you're negating that and you're skeptical and you're being antagonistic to a caller who's saying that there was fraud. I could give you, if I sat in front of my computer and sat down with you for a few hours, we could go through a whole bunch of things that would say that, that's pretty bad. And that could have swayed the election and probably did.
So there it is again. When you offer up these accusations and then I ask you for proof, that's not antagonism. That's asking you for proof.
Here's what I'll do, because I just sat down. Here is theevidence.com. I'll go through it. It's a wonderful site which compiles all the 23.2% of absentee ballots returned by voters were not received in swing states. That's a nationwide issue. 40,875 ballots were cast in the name of another voter without their consent in Pennsylvania. 40 of Colorado's 64 counties have more voter registrations than voting age citizens. You know, there's hundreds of these things, and those ones that I just said weren't specific to this, but there are dozens of Georgia witnesses account to irregularities, and you read the article and you get the data. But there's just that's almost the issue here, is it's so overwhelming, and people go back to, well, the courts wouldn't hear these cases, so therefore it's not right. You know, that's what a Wall Street Journal does. Well, you know what? The courts decided not to hear these things, so there was no corruption. And I just my point.
What do you think? And by the way, just for the record here, you're now approaching 7 minutes on the air. What do you think? That's how long Jeff had too, by the way, not the 3 minutes that you suggested. And I'm sorry if asking follow up questions and challenging assertions is antagonistic. I'll continue to do it because that's what I've been doing it for 20 years. When you say that the courts wouldn't hear this stuff, what about the people that were advising Donald Trump that told him the same thing? Do you think they were lying to him? That there wasn't the evidence for the fraud to negate the election? And then why did Trump leave?
Why did Trump what?
Why did he leave office if he had won?
Why did he? He had to leave office. He was voted out of office, and the official count was that he lost the election.
But if there was fraud, and he believes it, and I believe
he tried very hard, as did all the people on January 6th, to put up and say, hold on a second, mm-hmm. something's not right here. But that right. didn't work out so well for anybody.
And then of his advisors? What of his advisors who told him this is not the case? They were just all wrong?
Well, there's probably a combination. There might be something, you know, the idea of the, I think it was called Dominion voting machines, and that there was USB drives and that kind of stuff. I couldn't tell you. But I'm not going to. I'm certainly not going to say, well, that's all bunk because it didn't play out. Because that's kind of the whole point, is it's so corrupt that you don't know. But there are.
That's why I called it faith. We went back and checked. It was 9.5 minutes that Jeff had plus Jimmy's 8+ minutes. So we're approaching 18 minutes. Like this whole hour basically almost has been that. All right, we'll go over to Jim. Why not just fill it out? Now, Jim, I only have 2 minutes because I've spent so much time with everybody else, but welcome to the program.
Pete, I probably don't need 2 minutes. I've been voting for a long time. I've gotten really ambivalent, although I love the spirit of your last three callers, and obviously they're a lot younger than I am. I love their spirit, but I'm sorry, but the argument in this country right now is not about whether 10,000 votes in a certain state or district were miscounted or illegal. Look at the system we got, Pete. We got a uniparty, first of all. You've got to have 30% more of financial assets or income than you had just 3 years ago, or else you're backing up right now in this country. I'm a little bit of a financial person. I'm retired now. These people need to start studying budgets and government deficits they need to start studying that stuff. I'm out of Mecklenburg County now. I'll never live there again the rest of my life. They've got $63 million they're requesting for the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system. For what? For what?
For the children.
Yeah, for the children, right. But Pete, we've got to do something. If you want to really get involved in politics, and I heard something about getting involved, maybe you even may come back,
yep.
Getting involved in your local precinct and all that. But Pete, we've got to find people that are going to attack what is 70 cents on every dollar right now spent in this country, education, Medicare, and Social Security. And, of course, some military, even the left, knows we got to have some. Well, a lot of military,
retired people get
government checks.
Yeah, Jim, I appreciate the call. You did use all the 2 minutes, just for the record. But it's good to hear from you. Have a good weekend. And it is true. People need to get involved at their local levels. This is the stuff that affects people the most. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.